Dr. Brian Curry is the Vice President and Senior Medical Director for Montefiore Medical Center. He's also on the faculty of the Albert Einstein College of Medicine. His research areas include the application of molecular epidemiological methods to investigations of infectious disease. Just kind of rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? He practices and teaches in the Division of Infectious Diseases at Montefiore Medical Center and has served as a consultant to the Wildlife Conservation Society for the last 6 years. Dr. Curry.
First, I want to thank everyone for inviting me here. I like to think, as the role of a moderator, I actually have the hardest job and the easiest job. And the hardest job is one following Dr. Curran, of course. Trying to summarize, I'm exhausted, and I've been involved and interested in zoonotic diseases. I'm an infectious disease physician. I've been studying them for at least 15 years, often at times at the zoo, working on issues. And I have to tell you, I learned so much today from the exposure. It's amazing. I have a completely different perspective that I did not have, even with my work with the Wildlife Conservation Society when I'm leaving the doorway today. So in terms of your concern about the symposium being successful, I believe it has been highly successful. I want to thank all of the speakers. The presentations were amazing. And if I didn't know it, I would think they actually organized them together, but I know they didn't. They flowed very smoothly. And the points were made and reiterated and underlined. They're almost crystally clear to me, I think, without being repetitive. The essential link between human, domestic animal, and wildlife populations. And I believe we all have a new appreciation for the role of the wildlife populations in the equation. And the flow of zoonotic diseases through those populations. And I think we've gotten an appreciation for overlays on that that are, I believe, they were pretty unique for me. The geopolitical superlays that are over this, the economic overlays that are involved, things that just don't come out of a textbook of infectious diseases. There's no way that. And I believe they are significant determinant factors in how successful or unsuccessful we will be in controlling diseases going into the future. There's also quite clear, and it's already been referred to, about the need for a coordinated approach to dealing with newly emerging zoonotic diseases. The resources, the funding, the capability to do the research that's required to get the information. Information is power in this arena. If there was one take-home message from each one of the presentations, trying to fly blind is a tough business. And the more information you have, the more informed you can be, and the more logical and appropriate the decisions and the interventions you can make. There's an underscoring of the need for surveillance, which is something I've actually played with a little bit. I know some of the difficulties in doing it. The need to put together and coordinate the existing surveillance programs, but also to invest in the infrastructure to make them better. And it's our public health infrastructure. What's good for an emerging infectious disease, I mean, it's been alluded to, and I will underscore the fact that influenza is a zoonotic disease. It kills 20,000 people a year in the United States and costs about $4.3 billion. And this is not in an epidemic year. The solution for that problem is exactly the same solution, I believe, for the avian influenza problem. There are ways to invest in dealing with emerging infectious diseases that will underlie and support, and I believe needed support, for public health infrastructure. They can be compatible, they don't have to be divided and misdirected, not coordinated. We need better diagnostic testing, okay? As a molecular biologist, you know, I can greatly appreciate that. And we need to have a coordinated approach to our interventions when they come up. And, you know, it was clear in this conference that the communication between international agencies, national agencies, the CDC, the Wildlife Conservation Society now as well, has improved. But I would point out there's no way to memorialize that. Even today's meeting, there's no infrastructure that would regularly bring these people together that I know to make public policy in a coordinated way, recognized way. The final thing I would like to point out is that there's a need for new approaches. Dr. Curran has carefully reviewed many of the principles of epidemiology. I was really delighted to see so many epidemiologists here today talking about the issues. But in addition to the standard approach to epidemiology in the past, I believe we need to crank it up a few notches, if you will. I was really pleased to see the degree of molecular typing being used to try and unravel knotty and incomplete problems. And how, I mean, it's not new, but its use in a very systematic way, I think, especially around Ebola, was very heartening for me. I think each one of the sessions involved somebody commenting on the use of the molecular typing to unravel the problem. There were also a series of references that were made to the use of information technology. There were several speakers that talked about GIS mapping and superimposition of even now bird migratory patterns on those maps to reach a better understanding. And even in the talk about Ebola in the Congo, there was a talk about building, even at that level, an information technology structure to accommodate trying to address the problem. And I believe that, you know, things are at the point now that you can, even in the Congo, do that. And finally, I believe that there's going to be a need for new approaches to vaccine development. And I think our discussion about the influenza issue really underscores that. And I think it's going to require a unique collaboration. I think it's going to require government working with industry, working with academia, and working with public health to actually deliver the goods on this one. It's pretty clear that separately and independently, I don't think we're getting where we have to go. As you know, again, I believe the combinations of hemagglutinin and neuraminidase genes that was alluded to in the talk is there are 256 known combinations. Well, as a molecular biologist, I'm looking at that, and to me it says that's doable. There should be a library of genetic material. We should be developing recombinant vaccines. We should get away from growing live virus and harvesting it, and the attendant problems of delayed production, strains missing in the vaccine, the wrong one being there, and not much time, perhaps one day, to deal with an avian influenza strain. The same rules apply to influenza always, as well as to avian influenza. It's the same reservoirs, the same diversity, it's novel issues, and I agree, you need to address them. But I would point out we've been waiting for the next pandemic anyway for probably 5 or 6 years. We need to do this in order to address it. So I those are my thoughts, and I'm hoping that certainly a unique collaboration will come out of the meeting today between many of the participating parties, at least as a first step. And I've really enjoyed my day here today. Thank you.